Yeah, I was having a shit.
Hello, and welcome to the second podcast. So, I think we said if we got more than three listeners, we'd do it again. I think we got five. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah, it's three of those for me.
No, SoundCloud does unique listens. So, or did you listen once from your house?
Yeah, I was like, I bet all different IP addresses. Yeah. We need some more ratings, though, because at the moment there aren't enough for it to give us that five-star rating.
Which inevitably it's going to attain. No, I think, basically, someone other than just us listened to it. So
that's brilliant. We want to know who you are, because yeah. You are the audience.
Send us an email.
Yeah.
What's our email address?
info@kimmystoiletbreak.com.
Yeah, we're back. This is the podcast for the Korean Grand Prix, which was another early start.
It was an early start, but we both watched it.
Both bailed out, recorded, watched it later.
I was in a rush this weekend. I had to go to London, so
You had to go to a London.
I had to go to a stag. I had to go to a stag do last night. So this morning when I got up, I quickly, hastily watched the just the race, none of the chatter, and not been quite on it.
It wasn't a particularly dynamic race, so forgive us if it's not all as gold as last week.
Golden. I think it will be, because we're just going to edit in loads of stuff we didn't use last week, so it'll be fine.
It should probably be a bit shorter than last time. But if you enjoy it, let us know. Top news this week, Lewis Hamilton on Twitter.
Being a tit on Twitter.
Just when we thought we might have gone in a bit too heavy on him in the first podcast. If you don't know about it, Lewis Hamilton, essentially to surmise, got shirty at Jenson Button for not respecting him by unfollowing him on Twitter following the news of his departure, followed about an hour later by an apologetic tweet saying, oh, actually, he never followed me in the first place.
Oh, I never followed him anyway, my bad.
And there's about 100 people tweeting him going, he doesn't follow you, and eventually he had to admit that he had been a dick. It's only Lewis Hamilton and 13-year-old girls that think the biggest sign of disrespect you can show someone is to unfollow them on Twitter.
He's unfriending me on Facebook. He's going to realise he's his friend on Facebook tomorrow. Be like, what's that all about? Yeah. It's not on my Christmas card list.
He's going to be like grabbing his phone going, it's my number, I better still be in here.
I think he doesn't follow him, so he's like, oh well, I know my telemetry anyway. I don't need to bother with you tweeting it out for me.
I'll just speak to Whitmarsh.
He'll tell me. He follows Fernando, but... Right, hang on. Let's see who does and doesn't follow each other.
Oh, that is going to be so... bollocks, he does follow. Alonso follows him back.
That only happened last week, I reckon.
Yeah.
And we've just found there's a picture of Fernando and Massa. Massa looks a lot happier to be in it because this is the closest he's allowed to. Yeah. Sorry, you got your 2 minutes of being close and he's like, get this guy away from me.
Just after this photo, his medley came on.
Get away from him.
Felipe, you're too close.
You're too close, get your arm off him. Turns out Fernando's Twitter stream is just full of pictures.
Yeah, did Alonso give him that coffee? It doesn't stand for Fernando.
There's a fantastic picture of Fernando's coffee cup with a big F. What you can't see is in the toast he's got a U.
Yeah, and then on the biscuits there's a C. And then that can escape.
He's like, Umed. Who made my breakfast this morning? Oh, it's Felipe. Oh.
Rosberg promised us.
He said he would do that dance if he won. He would do it naked. He knew he wasn't going to win.
I'd do it naked on the back of Schumacher's car while he drives a victory lap.
Real shame he didn't get to
would
do
have been
it.
Better. I would have liked to see who would have been who's the funniest driver if they'd done that dance on the podium.
But they had the Gangnam Style man went there, and he wasn't. I was like, he was looking up at the podium afterwards thinking, I was doing it. I think he was expecting someone to
definitely.
Do the dance.
I'm surprised. Vettel is uniformly cringe-inducing after he tries to be really profound or he tries to be really zany, and you could totally imagine him getting up there and jumps on Webber's shoulders, riding Webber around the stage.
I couldn't do this. I quite enjoying this. I keep quite like it.
So, did you get up for quali this time?
No. No, I didn't, and I had to hastily watch it before dashing onto a train for London, so I cut out all of the chatter and probably half of Q1 as well.
Okay, fair enough. Well,
so I'm relying on your copious notes and knowledge.
So, the main notable point of quali for me was Carter Kyan going out. And not because Carter Kyan went out, because that happens quite a lot. He went out because his brakes failed. So what happened was he pirouetted off and then it cut in with the team radio, as it often does. And you couldn't really make out what he was saying, but he was going, "Ah, my brake, and they just started going, no pedal. But yeah, that was all of the transmission you could hear, was just him going, no pedal. Like, his pedal's just fallen off.
I'm not surprised.
He snapped his foot straight through it. So that was probably pretty scary. But David Coulthard had a really strange turn of phrase for describing it, like, unnecessarily so. He said, it's a bit of retardation there for Carter Kyan.
We've noticed that, mate. It's a little bit rude.
Yeah, I was like, well, steady on, Dave. I mean, yeah, it was just the way that he used that word. Because it wasn't, really.
It wasn't.
Was it?
I mean, it wasn't at all.
And my theory is that is a bet from Brundle to say...
Call him a retard, something.
Get in that.
But so did you see Carter Kyan on the pit wall afterwards? Because, you know, when things go wrong in the race or qualification, they go up to the pit wall and, like, get all... You know, oh, sorry. Usually when it's Vettel, they go and give him a little hug and then say, oh, come watch the telly with us. Watch him go around.
Oh, yeah, they go and stand
there. They totally blanked Carter Kyan. And the camera was on him for about 5 minutes. So, like, you know, move a bit closer together. Pretend he's not there. Eventually he might go away.
They could
away.
See him approach them on their monitor. They're just like, going,
you haven't seen him. Maybe he'll just go altogether.
Yeah. And then in Q2, JB went out. That was a bit of a nightmare, wasn't it? Actually, what happened was my friend arrived just as Q2 started, who wasn't interested in the F1, and so I kind of was like, yeah, I'm kind of watching this. But
just doing that thing where you're going, yeah.
Whatever you're saying. So, yeah. So, and resulted, the upshot of it was that I don't know what he said, and I don't know what happened in qualifying. So,
Ed's friend, if you listen to this.
Yeah, sorry. He kind of had an excuse for it in that Ricardo, we've since discovered, had to park it, and that was the cause of the yellow flag, and Jensen had to ease off. I mean, the McLaren was looking up, Lewis was looking up, so maybe he wouldn't have done it anyway.
It might not have happened anyway.
It wasn't as shocking as Alonso being right on the edge in Q3, but so Jensen out, so that's disappointing, but is generally good, isn't he, when he's back in the pack and has to make a few overtakes.
That's usually how he does well, but we'll see what happens in the race.
Yeah,
I wonder.
Don't peek behind the magician's curtain. Yeah, another thing in Q3, Maldonado, I noticed there was an interesting onboard for him where he was going quite fast and he seems to be doing quite well, and then they cut him for an onboard shot. And he did that thing where you see on their onboard camera and you see their head just go down. He, like, grabbed a lever and he kind of did it, but for quite a long time. And then he looked up and just instantly locked the brakes and, like, ran the turning. And it was like he
was changing the CD or something.
Yeah. It was like he went, oh, just adjust that. Oh, fuck, I've turned the brakes off. And straight through the corner.
It probably was like they always fiddling, like Michael Schumacher fiddles with his brake bias.
It does,
and
all
like
the time, that little lever.
Like, oh, you can't stop fiddling, can you? Just so.
Where's my good at driving saying? Still can't find it. 3 years looking for the setting.
He's looking, I need to turn my colostomy bag up a little bit.
That's the colostomy bag, just discharge. Just empties it behind him. So, yeah, Q3. Q3 had Lewis, did you see him coming out of his pit box?
Nice.
Did you see, I suppose you sped through it. As he exited his pit, someone was released just in front of him. I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Rosberg. So really pleased with Mercedes. And yeah, he fully swerved round him really unnecessarily. And if I can only just miss the mechanic, which was pretty hairy. I mean, the pit lanes always look a bit dangerous. I'm amazed. Yeah. But they just seemed so blasé about it. They weren't bothered to race in the pit lane.
Yeah, they're like, oh, there is no unsafe release during things. Yeah. Like, oh, yes, okay, so you can just drive through all the garages.
It's qualifying as well. You know, you can work yourself up a gap, can't you? But Lewis was like, no.
Nah, I'm going to... He's trying to set the bar now.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
send like, a message to him.
I'm the man.
Fuck you, Nico.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then Q3 was story of the Red Bulls, really. I thought Vettel was going to do it. He looked like he had it in his pocket. But then the love child of Skeletor and Desperate Dan pulled it out of the bag again.
Take that, whoever. That's amazing. What an image.
Yeah, he got pole, so that was quite good for him. And then post-qualifying press conference, I guess it was Croft introduced the interviews and would say, your first pole, Mark. obviously meaning you got demoted the last race, and you know, and he went, yeah, right, well, actually, yeah, I did got pole, but yeah, obviously demoted. So first time I started.
He's just like, it's like going, yeah, whatever.
He tried to argue it, basically. He got really like kind of indignant, and then as he worked it out himself, went, it's my first pole. Shit.
It's a bit embarrassing.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I mean, he must enjoy beating Vettel. And then it moved on to Vettel, and Vettel kind of said, made his excuses for not getting pole, and said, well done to Mark and stuff. And it was like, but, you know, first straight here is quite open. I've got the inside line, so first corner could be interesting. And Mark Webber's face, he was just like, eyes locked, straight forward, didn't flinch at all. And he was giving off his best fuck you vibes.
Yeah, he's like, don't you different try in that first corner.
You kind of imagined Vettel, like, you know, smoking a fag, being like, first corner will be interesting. Stubs out, flicks it forward, leads back.
Flicks it in Webber's face. Yeah.
I'd noticed that Eddie Jordan this week was, I think someone's really had a word with him and been like, you've got to stop rambling like a madman. You really, like, you've been in broadcasting too long now. And it was like you could see him really consciously thinking, say your point, then shut up, just shut up. But when he gets too excited, he just loses it again. Himself. It's like he's taken over the mantle of Murray Walker, just saying these ridiculous things. He said, Lewis Hamilton, who, in my opinion, is absolutely possibly the best starter.
absolutely, possibly
the best starter, and then qualified that way, along with Alonso. Absolutely, possibly the best qualifier, along with Alonso. It's like, great. The BBC being taught the Gangnam Style dance, which is like the most embarrassing thing ever. But they came in and they gave him a little interview, and then Eddie Jordan just in this, he was just like, but you can't do a dance without any girls. Get in the lovely girls.
Oh, no.
He might as well.
He was trying to do...
He's rubbing his knees. Bring in the lovely girls.
Did you see that he was trying to do a bit of riff dance at the same time?
Yeah. Did you not hear him say that?
No, I didn't. No.
He literally said that to the guy. He was like, oh, we only have river dance in my country.
Oh, God. I did see his feet going away.
The worrying thing about that was that DC clearly already knew that dance.
He already knew. He'd already practiced
that. That was not the best time that man has done that dance in his skinny white jeans. So, and then I think they cut from that to Eric Boulier.
He is the scariest man. He is
quite a scary man.
I imagine he really, like, he's like the Alex Ferguson of F1 team managers.
He is a bit,
I would
isn't
not
he?
Want to piss him off.
Like, I used to think that about Domenicali, but he's softened
really?
Up
no,
quite a bit.
No,
hasn't
he's
he?
A cuddly, he's a bit, lovely Italian man.
But Eric Boulier, he does have the. I mean, he was on a team with Flavio. He clearly would stab you for your chips.
Yes. They were saying, have you had a word with Grosjean? He's like, no, I've not spoken to him. I've got to see him now. It's like, I'm going to have a word with him just before they go out. But I would not fuck with that guy.
He's pulling on his leather trench coat as he says it. Some kind of enormous baseball bat down the sleeve.
I'm going to speak to Grosjean. I do kind of feel sorry for him because he's, you know.
I do. He looks so frail, so vulnerable. I don't know what it is about him. He just looks like such a little kid.
And it's
going
to affect his racing as well, because he's going to be like, I can't get near to anyone because they're just going to...
Well, I mean, it's jumping forward to the race, but in the race, he was swerving out the way of everything. The first corner, he was like on the escape route. He don't think he was on between the white lines.
When he sees like some of that AstroTurf.
He was so far out of the way. He was like the old lady that pulls into the hard shoulder to let you overtake on the motorway. He was just waving them through.
It's like, you know, horses, when they're on the road, they're always, you have to like really slow down.
Yeah, they treat Grosjean like that. Yeah. Everyone's like, don't rev the engine too loud, you might scare him.
You know, if a horse sees a carrier bag or something, which starts going mental. Oh, what the fuck is that?
He sees like someone's end plate coming to his peripheral vision. He just he's a flight animal. He gets jittery.
Just slow down.
Stabs the accelerator. Yeah. DC's Fashion Parade, did you see that?
Oh no, I didn't see it.
Oh, DC's Fashion Parade, it's great. They've decided to replace the grid walk with David Coulthard walking around slightly too nervous to push in, and so instead just commenting on what the other presenters are wearing. And he was looking at this guy that was presenting the German TV, so he was some kind of ex-boxer, and he's just like getting the camera to look at his shoes.
And they actually walked past each other, Brundle and DC.
Did they?
On the pit walk. I'd love it if they both tried to jostle to speak to someone, like
that would be amazing.
Who'd have to choose to talk to? I don't think
that is Yeah, no, but unfortunately, I'm sure they wouldn't do that. But
yeah,
it's because it's DC and Brundle. If it was someone else,
it was Eddie Jordan.
Eddie Jordan, he would actively seek out any opportunity.
He'd
like crawl between Brundle's legs,
just come up in the middle.
Excuse me, bear with me, Martin.
Brundle had a little quick interview with Jensen, and Jensen, as soon as he sees Brundle, he just gets this little smirk on his face, like, I'm going to get one over.
Yeah, he does.
And he said, oh yeah, I hear that my dad beat you in an arm wrestle. I missed this. It must have been on like the pre-race coverage. No, he was like, no, I thought, oh, better not beat your dad, because you might not be happy with me. And just in the back of the shot, you could see John Button was leaning over and sort of just staring at Brundle, like, I want a rematch.
Yeah.
bottle of Jack Daniels in his hand. He's like, come on, come back here. Let's have another round. He was just staring him out. And Brundle clearly needed to go down. He was right that he was just in limbo. There's nothing there. And he was about to walk down. I think he caught the John Button. So he's like, I'm just going to go. He went to where there was no car. He was like, oh, the Mercedes will be along in a bit. kept looking back. He's like, is John gone? Yeah. Still there.
There's some stewards around, aren't there?
Yeah. You know, Adrian Newey loves to do his, likes to have a good old stare at all the cars. And he was looking at, what was he looking at? The Ferrari, I think it was. And they actually...
That's in the bank.
That's done. Oh, lovely, lovely wing. But you know how they try and guard it for
so that
people can't see it? It was almost like what Newey was looking at it, and they kind of just parted. Like, just let him see your face. I think he's got x-ray vision anyway.
He just
kind of can see air moving over him, even though. But
it seems like the Matrix just these.
I wonder how far down the grid he goes.
Probably by the time you get to the Force Indias, he's not that bothered.
He's really not that bothered. It's like they're all the same. I'd love to know what his opinion is of the HRTs.
Yeah. Do you reckon if someone like him went there just for like a weekend, they'd find like 3 seconds?
Yeah. What sort of effect can he have?
Do you reckon it's like, because surely not, it's something that's really stupid. It's not something that fundamental, but it would be amazing. I mean, I'm sure they've got really good people, but you know, imagine sending Ross Brawn or.
He just goes in there, he's like, you've got that wing on back to front.
Yeah, just walks back out. Yeah. So yeah, that left us with a starting lineup of Webber in first, Vettel second,
Hamilton third,
Alonso fourth, Raikkonen, Massa, Grosjean, Hülkenberg, Rosberg, and Schumacher in tenth. So
do you reckon they looked around the guys around Grosjean like? Oh, right. Do you reckon they'd actually rather be further down just because it's less risky?
I think you'd rather be behind Grosjean than have him behind you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Massa clenched his ass pretty tight into that corner. Massa's pretty nervous anyway.
Actually, that's probably where his motivation's coming from, to be a bit quicker.
Like, got to like, into the first
got to get at least 10 seconds between us. But
yeah,
that's good motivation to go a bit quicker.
Webber last season was so shit at starting, wasn't he? Mm. You just think psychologically...
Doesn't matter where he is.
Yeah, so even though he's on pole, he's going to be thinking, he's in the same car as me, if I don't nail the start... He's on the inside, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And it just looked like it was so much easier for Vettel.
Straight in.
He was level with him before Webber had moved off the spot.
Webber did get back some speed. I don't know how, but going into that corner, he had the inside line. You know, that was it, really.
I think the scrapping straight behind him, the way they all moved, I think Lewis dived right and then left.
Mm.
And it just kind of everyone, you know, did that nervous kind of they all flick out and slow down. And it just bought the Red Bulls that space. But there was quite a lot of good racing further down the pack, and it was really disappointing to see Jensen go out, because I thought that was going to be where the excitement came, and especially with Lewis struggling a bit. I always enjoy seeing Jensen
outperform
Lewis. You know, and he was starting next to Perez as well, so that could have been interesting.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it all kind of came unstuck, and so I guess he's trying to be diplomatic, and he didn't say, you know, Perez hit me. In fact, I think in his interview he actively, you know, stated that Perez didn't hit him, but I don't know how he could have told that, because Perez kind of, it looked like there was a bit of contact, but it was behind. But it didn't look to me like Perez tried to make the move. It looked like Perez flinched on his brakes, locked it up and slid up the inside of him.
Mm.
Jensen flinched out. That sent Rosberg off. They all kind of just about got back on the track, but essentially at that point, it's like 3 or 4 wide going into
that corner. It was always
going
to end.
And Kobayashi went in hot, but...
I thought it looked like he got a tap off of Rosberg.
I think it... Yeah, I'd like to see it again, kind of from all the angles. I've only seen the couple that they showed immediately in the aftermath of it. But it kind of was... It was Kobayashi. I mean, it certainly wasn't Jensen's fault.
No.
He didn't see anything and just got his wheel taken off, and that sucks for him.
Like, what an idiot.
But then, yeah, just after last race saying, oh, I like Jensen because he doesn't slag drivers off. He just went, you know, what an idiot. And then they called him out on that in the interview and were like, oh, you called him an idiot. And he was like, oh, yeah, I don't think he actually caught all of that radio transmission. So I would have liked to heard what he said before that.
Yes.
Did he just go, pun Jensen, oh, what an idiot.
I would tune into team radio streams as well. I wish that was an option.
Yeah, that would be incredible. I'd tune into Massa's and Smedley's, regardless of if he was out the race.
I love you, Felipe. Come on. Oh, that's something, actually. I find that such an endearing relationship. Because,
it is. It's so sweet.
Rob Smellie was cheering on Massa so much.
Wait,
And what was it? Who was it he overtook?
Yeah, it was Lewis when his tyres were completely fucked.
Yeah.
And it was for, like, sixth.
And he's like, going,
yes!
Come on, Felipe!
Justice!
Done! That was autocorrect, actually. I made some notes on my...
Does it say Rob
on
Smellie?
I tried to put Smedley, and it corrected it to Rob Smellie, so that's going to stick now.
Yeah.
But yeah, nice. I do like Rob Smellie.
I mean, most of the action did happen in the first few laps, and then once the pit stops had happened, there was a little bit of change up further back, but the pit stops kind of accentuated all the gaps that were there, rather
yeah.
than like, any of them dramatically flipping things around.
The best bit was it was quite funny. Massa, like we said in qualifying, had so much more pace than Alonso, which I don't know where it's come from. And
yeah, it's
predictably,
strange,
Mr. Rob Smellie comes on the radio.
oh my God, yeah.
Felipe, you need to be like, what was it like?
He was like, you're too close to Fernando.
Don't touch Fernando.
Do you reckon Fernando, do you reckon Alonso has been on the radio and he's gone, get him out my fucking mirrors. It's such a bitch slap, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like he's behind you and you're still going, yeah, slower.
slower.
Okay. I mean, yeah, he wants to be in a Ferrari, doesn't he? So it's like either be a complete bitch there or go to a shitter team. So
yeah.
It's kind of fair play to him, but it's pretty humiliating when you're losing to him and they're just going, just slow down. Alonso wants a bigger gap.
Get out of my sight.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't matter. They were always going to swap him round, but it was so funny.
Well, what they could have done, though, because Massa had so much pace, they could have tried to get him in front of Alonso, in front of Webber.
Yeah, go and fuck up Webber a bit. Slow Webber down, bring Webber back into Alonso's sights. And then if they said, you know, if he doesn't manage to pull the move, he can just stop on the last lap and let him back through, which they would have done. So, Jensen when he went out... they said in the commentary he always the worst place to crash because he's the furthest away from anyone, but furthest away from anywhere, so you know he's got to wait ages. But the way that he got out of the car and he just stopped and like kind of turned around and just looked back at kind of its car and then just looked at the track, and it really looked like he was waiting for Kobayashi to come back round to like give him the birds. He just sat there tapping his foot like, come back round. Some drivers have been confirmed for next season, so we've got what did we just look at?
Hülkenberg to Sauber. Although that was rumour before, apparently. But
yeah,
see, like
I didn't know that. I guess it's a bit of a step up, isn't it?
A little bit, because, I mean, Force India haven't had any podiums this year. And
no.
Sauber have had a few. And I really like Hülkenberg.
Yeah, I think he's really good.
Yeah, and he is funny as well.
He is funny, yeah. He's been on Five Live quite a bit, doing like practice and stuff. And I think it'd be good to have more of him in it. So, that'd be good. So, yeah, who's going to fill his seat at Force India? Talking about going maybe back for Sutil. They've, you know, cleared up all that.
People.
Yeah. Now he's been charged with GBH, so that's great.
Forgotten about all that.
Come back, a suspended sentence and, like, £100,000 fine. That's how much it costs to glass a team over in F1. It's good to kind of quantify that, just
that's,
in case you ever,
bad,
if you're
actually
interested, yeah, I'd pay that to do it to a Horner.
Gosh, could you imagine? Actually, if we go chipping.
Yeah, if you have a whip round, glass Horner, £190,000, I'd say that is a bargain.
Sauber have said that they're definitely going to announce their drivers before the end of the season. You would think this Hülkenberg stuff's going to come out in the next
We have
days.
Heard that they're not that happy with Kobayashi,
no.
and he just crashed again today.
Yeah,
so.
I think if he'd done well after last week, he'd probably be guaranteed to stay in. But now it's
looking a bit shakier, isn't it?
Looking a bit shaky, but I hope he stays in somewhere. It'd be a shame to lose him because, like we said last week, big fan.
He's thoroughly entertaining, yeah. I said last week, it was taken out of context a little bit. I said he was too good. That was in, yeah, that was out of context.
He's the best in the, on the grid, done.
Yeah. Yeah, so where does that leave us with the title?
It leaves Vettel 6 points ahead, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really change that much, I guess, because really what will swing it is if one of them has another DNF or something. It's only a, you know, it's not that much.
Is it bad that I was really hoping that Vettel's tyres were going to...
I mean, that pretty much, the title is just between them now, isn't it?
I really want Alonso to...
Do you think Kimi's going to get third in the championship?
I think he will. I think he will because he'll carry on being consistent. It would have been nice to see him maybe pushing a little bit more. He's going to have to not be cautious, unless Lotus are just going to try and do well in the constructors and they're relying on Grosjean, maybe pulling a few results.
Yeah, I mean, if he can keep that up, that was a pretty funny quote after the race saying, I've done a lot of work recently trying to understand a few things, like where the other cars are.
How to brake into the corner. Yeah.
So you've just listened to the podcast. Again, congratulations, probably more so than last week. I don't know if the novelty has just worn off and I'm feeling more and more like a child recording a radio show on my tape player in my bedroom with my sister.
But I think we peaked week one.
Yeah, so if you listened to that, I thought it was shit. No one's listening to this, let's face it.
Yeah. There is someone out there.
Yeah, well, apparently so.
We're going to raise the bar this week. We need 10 listens.
10 listens. That's asking a lot. We might have to tell some... We might have to tell some people this time.
The problem is that the races have got dull as soon as we started doing this. Do you think
it's
our fault?
Basically, the championships is over and both the races have been really shit and Red Bull have won them for months. So it's not our fault.
We're going to retrospectively the races aren't being funny. Podcasts about the old ones.
Yeah.
This is funnier than most of the podcasts. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it and there'll be more in two weeks' time for the Indian Grand Prix. Is hopefully a more civilised time.
It can't decide the title, can it? So that's just going to be shit, whatever.
Yeah.
Look forward to that. Yeah. Yeehaw. The American one will be good. Yeah. Although the title will definitely be over by then. But
yeah. We're just really positive about the effort.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope to see you, hear you. No, how do we? Hope to count you on SoundCloud in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, thanks. We'd like some more stats.
Cheers. Bye.